This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica stations. When police killings of African Americans in the U.S. exploded into mainstream consciousness over the past few years and sparked the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement, the Obama administration paid some lip service to human rights. Under Obama, the Department of Justice conducted investigations into several police departments, such as in Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, and a spate of consent decrees with problematic police departments were signed. Then came Donald Trump, who promised to emphasize law and order, which is, of course, code for empowering cops. Now, Trump's Attorney General Jeff Sessions, who has a history of disrespect for civil rights, has ordered a major review of those Obama-era federal consent decrees. To many, Sessions' announcement is a green light for police to continue with business as usual. My guest is Chenjerai Komanyika. He's an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University in South Carolina and a correspondent for this program. Welcome back to the show, Chenjerai.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So first, let's talk about exactly what it was that these consent decrees, broadly speaking, were doing. I mean, we certainly didn't see enough concrete progress. There were not too many more charges that police faced, and certainly almost no convictions for the killings that took place over the last few years. However, as I mentioned, there was some lip service. There was an acknowledgement by the DOJ under Obama that there was a problem, right?
That's right. And this goes back even before the issue of Ferguson and the Michael Brown case. Since 2009, there have been federal reviews of police departments. And in over 14 cases, but certainly in these 14 cases, what has been found, it's in the language of the consent of the DOJ findings, there was generally a pattern of constitutional violation, often a pattern of excessive force found. I mean, you can see this really explicitly in the DOJ reports on Baltimore and in Ferguson, and also in Chicago. And this is really important because when you look at what Jeff Sessions is saying, he keeps talking about sort of bad apples or bad actors that are individuals. And that's not at all what the DOJ has found with these different police departments.
Let's talk about Baltimore, because the situation in the Baltimore Police Department, this is, of course, the police department that was responsible for Freddie Gray's death, among others. This is a police department that actually had accepted some of the recommendations and is in the process of carrying them out. I understand that Baltimore's police have actually said that they will continue with reforms whether or not their consent decree is overturned.
That's right. I mean, you know, the mayor, Catherine Pugh, said that the city strongly opposes a delay in moving forward on the process of overhauling Baltimore City's, criminal justice system, and that she's going to pursue it anyway. But when she's pursuing that without the backing of the federal government, you're up against the police union. And I mean, we also need to talk about the kind of violations that were happening in Baltimore. I mean, I really encourage everyone to look at that DOJ report on Baltimore. I mean, what you find is just horrific. In one case, a woman was strip searched on the street after a traffic stop for missing a headlight. She had a full body search, including an anal cavity. You saw a lot of reports of risky transport practices and rough rides of the kind that caused Freddie Gray's death, which, as you pointed out earlier, has not resulted in the conviction of any officer. And so, you know, these things were found on a systemic level as problems in the Baltimore situation. And now, and this, I think, is why part of the mayor is so willing to cooperate to figure out how can we overhaul the system. Now she's having to do that against the Attorney General of the United States.
And then there was, of course, Ferguson also, where so many problems were uncovered. Chicago, history of problematic police actions. What could Sessions have the power to do? I mean, there's a symbolic value in what he's saying, where he's basically sending a signal to police departments and individual police throughout the country that the Trump administration is just not going to be as interested in investigating police brutality as Obama might have been. But on a practical level as well, is there going to be an undoing of any progress?
Well, I think that there's a very real potential for that, because what Sessions is doing is he's currently delaying the consent decrees, the implementation of, you know, these agreements.
That's the effect of this sweeping review that he's ordered, is that everything's been put on hold.
Right. Everything has been put on hold. So then he's going to review all of these decrees. And what seems clear is he's going to be looking at those reviews to find ways that any excuse he can to try to pull back and say, basically, render them illegitimate. Now, I don't know to what extent he'll be able to find sufficient language to do that in legal terms. It seems like they are very committed to figuring out ways to do this. But what seems clear is that if you're a city who's trying to participate in these overhauls and trying to change your system and address some of these problems, you're not going to have the backing of the federal government. I mean, they're making clear that they're going to do the minimum involved. That's what it seems to be going forward. Hmm.
So is this basically the first attempt, the first step in the promise that Trump made to, quote, bring law and order to our urban centers in the United States, basically tough on crime, particularly where black people live?
Well, earlier this year, Trump already issued an executive order extending police powers in certain ways. And I think there's talk of more efforts that they're going to undergo to try to intensify policing and stopping violent crime. And so I think you have to look at those things in combination with the fact that we're now going to try to find ways to roll back reforms, allowing essentially police departments to continue with unconstitutional practices. I mean, I just want to really state, like, for instance, if you look at one of the things that Jeff Sessions says, he says these lawsuits undermine respect for police officers and create the impression an entire department is not doing their work consistent with fidelity to law and fairness. I mean, but that's what the DOJ reports found in almost all of these cases. And I also think that what he says is precisely the opposite of the truth, that these reforms will undermine. I think the purpose of the reforms is to try to restore respect to law enforcement in some ways. But so, I don't know. It's worrisome when you're thinking about the constitutionality here.
So there are about six or so agencies that have ongoing investigations. And we mentioned Baltimore. Chicago is also under a consent decree. And I understand that Chicago's police department will also continue to move forward, even if it doesn't feel like it has the support of the federal government. In Southern California, we've got Orange County, California, the Sheriff's Department in Orange County. What about, are there, as far as you know, police departments that are basically saying, all right, this is what we've been waiting for the federal government to step in and protect us, and now we're probably not going to move on this unless we're forced to do so?
From what I understand, there's been a very positive response from police unions to Trump's, rhetoric in general and to all these efforts, and they are feeling like someone is protecting them. But I just have to say that police unions, particularly in a place like Baltimore and New York, have tended to be the most regressive participants in the conversation about transforming criminal justice. I mean, just if you see the kinds of things that the Baltimore PD has tweeted out in relation to the Freddie Gray, just flagrant celebration that there was no justice there. And, you know, if you look at really some of the components of police union contracts, which are real obstacles in the fight to hold police accountable, what you see is, you know, the unions are a regressive force. So, yes, they completely support this. And, you know, it shows that really these organizations want to only be accountable to themselves, and they were not persuaded at all by the protests. I mean, because let me say, I approach this not only as a journalist who has been, and an activist who has been, was in Ferguson, you know, and has been to Baltimore and has been in a lot of these protests. And I understand that the only reason you really had these task force was a result of public protests that brought this federal government to the table.
Right. Enough wasn't done. It was just the bare beginnings of actual reform.
Absolutely. I mean, Freddie Gray, nobody held to account. Here in my state of South Carolina, no one still has been held to account for Walter Scott, which is arguably the most egregious and clear example of someone who was shot unjustly. And so,
shot in the back while he was running away.
That's right. And so, in a way, yes, the steps that the Department of Justice are taking are like a last resort, just to see some kind of action taken on some level. And now those are being rolled back.
Now, the particular steps that Sessions is taking is also part of the broader goal of not just the Trump administration, but the GOP in general, to undo everything they can that Obama did, right? I mean, we should also see this in a broader context, right? Because the GOP has played such dirty political games, particularly on the issue of race, even though Obama didn't do nearly enough to address the civil rights and human rights of Black Americans. It was probably seen as far too much for the establishment, and they're busy undoing every tiny little bit of progress that he might have made.
Absolutely. And, I don't know if people who support the GOP think that this is going to make their community safer. But, I can say right here in upstate South Carolina, we also have tremendous problems with the local police department. And there's the case of Zachary Hammond illustrates that it's not only Black people who are the victims of this, although we are disproportionately the victim of this. So, yes, the GOP is moving forward with this, trying to repeal the, progress that was made under the Obama administration. And it's really interesting to see what's going to happen going forward.
And the Department of Justice, we should remind ourselves, is actually one of the few recourses, one of the few places that cities and individuals have when they have problems with their police department and violations of their rights. I mean, the DOJ is supposed to be able to protect you, at least investigate and look into allegations of serious abuse. If you've got an abusive police department and you've got a city's political establishment that protects that police department, the only place you can go to is the DOJ. Under Jeff Sessions, there's almost nowhere to go.
There's nowhere to go. There's no recourse. I mean, and this has a long history. This goes all the way back to school desegregation for African Americans and, the federal government being eventually persuaded to send in tanks and soldiers to try to protect, to allow people to access basic civil rights, basic human rights. And I would include, the ability to not be killed, not be illegally strip searched, not be subject to a system where the local police are being used as a fundraising mechanism, as which was found in the Ferguson DOJ report. I mean, these things are basic civil and human rights. And what we're seeing now is no protection from the federal government, or a move towards no protection from the federal government against that.
Well, Chenjerai, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, as always, and helping to put these issues into context. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Chenjerai Kumanyika is an assistant professor of communication studies at Clemson University in South Carolina and a correspondent for Rising Up with Sonali. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.